This is Winning with ADHD, a podcast for parents to empower students. Build up your ADHD teens so that they recognize their own talents, creativity, and uniqueness. Get tips and tricks to help overcome executive functioning challenges. Listen to stories and experiences of what worked and what did not. Together, let's find ways to build your child's self-esteem and start winning with ADHD. And now, here's your host, Heather Walker.
Hi, friends. Welcome to May and to the Winning with ADHD podcast. I'm Heather Walker, and this month I want to talk about change management. Month is arguably the busiest month of the year outside of the month of December. I'm not really sure which one is busier, but the month of May is definitely in competition for the top spot with graduations, all of the dance performances, soccer tournaments, baseball games, all of the different things that are happening. And then you've got also the shift and the excitement from being in school to being out of school, maybe some vacation plans or, you know, spending time at the pool or whatever it might be. And so while it's an exciting time for those with ADHD, it can actually create a lot of anxiety or stress around the uncertainty as to what's happening next. Going from a structured environment to a very unstructured environment can also have an impact on how your child shows up in their behavior. And if you didn't know this, a child's behavior, or maybe their snarkiness in the words that they use or the attitude that they have, is a really good indicator as to how like they're feeling on the inside. So if you think of like people use an iceberg all the time of like what you can see above the surface versus how much is way below the surface. And our kids tend to show us what is really below the surface through their behavior. And whether, you know, you have a younger kid, that might be a temper tantrum. If you have an older kid, it might be eye rolling or a bad attitude in general, which might be kind of hard to decipher at times if they're just being a moody teen or if there's actually something more that's there. But I believe that we know our kids and we can usually tell when something has shifted or changed that makes it a little bit more prominent in their eye rolling, for example. But I wanted to talk about kind of like these bigger types of changes and how we can help our families adjust to that change and feel successful through that process. That is definitely my biggest goal, is trying to find ways to win and have our families and our kids with ADHD stack those wins and feel really good about getting from point A to point B, whether that be completing homework assignments or chore assignments. And then in this case, moving from being able to be in school to out of school successfully. So if we think about this time, it's where you have a very, very structured environment to basically potentially no structure, depending on the family. If I think about when kids are younger, it's, you know, the classroom is even structured from like the teacher writing on the board of what's coming next. Or in middle school or high school, you have a bell that rings to let you know that it's time to move to the next topic or class time. When you're at home, you probably are losing out on your consistent routine for sleep, which you guys, if you've listened to anything that I've put out there, you would know that that is our core North Star metric or piece that we're after as a family, because it is so impactful to the family members in our household. Your household might be different, and that might not be what is your North Star metric or North Star routine that you work on. So identify what that is for your family. So for us, a bedtime routine doesn't change as we move into the summer, because what we learned is that it creates little monsters in our household if we do that. It doesn't mean that we don't adjust the routine or the timing, meaning that the kids stay up later and they get up later, but we make sure that they have a fairly consistent schedule and that it's not too drastically different than what it is during the school year. For example, if your child is going to bed at 10 p.m., and now they're not going to bed until 4 a.m., you're going to have a really, really hard time being able to get them back on track when school goes back in. But you're also going to be dealing with somebody who's maybe not getting enough sleep or creating some additional friction within the household, depending on what the requirements are within your home. So what we've done is for sleep, we've adjusted it so that they can have a different schedule and be able to sleep in. But we also make sure that our child with ADHD doesn't sleep in too much because that also creates a problem. So again, that's our family's core piece that we operate around because it is, we've learned by looking back at previous experiences that it is such an integral part of her success, but then also our success as a family. So I wanted to provide some tips on how to handle some big changes. So big changes can be, we've talked about going from school to out of school. It could be that you're getting ready to move. It could be that maybe there's a change in your family. Maybe they're getting a new sibling. Maybe you're getting remarried and there's new step siblings. There's a new job and requirements with that job, and it changes your home life in regards to, the amount of time you're traveling for work or not traveling for work. And so all of these types of situations are things that you could use this for, but you could also use it for much smaller changes, such as changing schools is a big one, but maybe it's a change in schools from or structure within a school or an activity that they're doing, anything that's causing them some stress around it, or you believe will cause them some stress around it, I believe you could use this to help you. So, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to reflect on previous experiences. So, think about what has happened in the past that could give you some indicators as to how they might respond in this situation. Our middle daughter changed schools from in the middle of first grade. She went to a public school. She got into a charter school, and we made that move in November of her first grade year. What happened at that time was completely surprising to me. Right after that, we started having a lot of problems with her on stomach aches and being sick and not feeling well. But it all was driven from the anxiety of changing schools and being new and the unknown. And I, at that time, just had no idea that that would be such a traumatic event for her. And so, if I look back on that previous experience and I think about her now, she just recently, this last year, moved from middle school, junior high, over to high school. And it was a hard change for her. And regrettably, I wasn't in tune or as in tune to this change and how it would impact her. But if I thought about what has happened in the past when she's changed schools, I would have been able to remember this experience and been able to maybe have some conversations earlier or help her in some different ways. We did get through it. She did just fine. She's now finished that school year out and is doing fairly well. But taking a chance to think back on similar experiences that have happened in the past can help you as a parent to make sure that you address any concerns that they might have or anxieties that might come with it. Because growing up and change is hard. And we all need somebody to kind of help us out with that a little bit. The next thing would be to identify any triggers or reactions. So if I use the example of going from being in school to out of school, I've noticed that my kids tend to have a behavior shift. There tends to be some moodiness or some excitement. My oldest daughter, who has ADHD, if she gets too excited, she then starts to pick on people and push buttons and cause other types of problems within the home because she has so much energy built up that she doesn't know how to properly get rid of it in a way that doesn't drive her sisters completely crazy. And other reactions that we have are maybe some sadness, especially it's going from being out of school to in school, or some anxiety around what does being at a new school look like? What does, you know, being in the next grade look like? Sometimes there's those internal thoughts or stories that they've told themselves that this next year is going to be so much different for certain reasons, or that maybe there's additional pressure on them that's really hard for them to kind of process. The next one is to develop some coping skills. So I'm going to continue to use the example just because of the time of year that we're in, from going out of school or in school to out of school. Some of the strategies that we've created to help that go successfully is, one, we give the excitement or benefit of, you know, a later time to bed. But we establish the boundary around that of, like, we get to go to bed later, but we have to be up by this time. We try to set some time zones as to, especially when the kids were younger, of we're going to have TV time, we're going to have park time, we're going to have lunch time, we're going to have craft time, we're going to have quiet time, right? And that worked really well for our family, and in that order specifically when my kids were younger, because it allowed them to do whatever they wanted when they got up. Then we went outside for a little bit, got rid of some energy before it got too hot. We fed them, which allowed for nobody, you know, we don't want anybody to be hangry. And then we would have craft time, which they loved, which was a little bit quieter, calmer inside when it's really hot outside. And then we would have quiet time where they would go and do something on their own. So again, that worked really well for our family. So it created some structure in the day as to what it would typically look like. And that allowed for us to have, you know, some flexibility within the summer, but also to maintain some structure so that when we go back into the school year in August, that it's not such a shock to the system. We also have learned from our history that as the summer goes on, we have to kind of guide ourselves back to some of that structure, because we tend to kind of get a little bit lazy, or we get off track because we had family come in town or we went on vacation, and making sure that we maintain some structure. We were also kind of forced. So this is a benefit that our family had of being forced into a structure, because when Emily was really young, she was like obsessive over what was happening, when it was happening. And if it didn't happen that way, we would have a complete shutdown. All the things would stop in its tracks, and we would have to figure out how to solve the crisis at hand, which was her melting down, to be able to get back on track. So for example, if I said, we're going to go to the park at 10 a.m., and at 10 a.m., I was still getting ready and wasn't quite ready to go to the park, but we would be leaving by 10:10. That would cause some feelings for Emily around the fact that she's, you know, knew we were going to the park at 10 and we weren't at the park at 10. Ironically enough, today, she's not as meticulous about what time it is and where she needs to be. And maybe it's because we're not going to the park and doing fun things. But at that time, if we said we were going to do something, if it was, didn't matter what it was, we had to stick to it. So I had to start adjusting how I communicated information to her so that I could make sure that I set us up for success, because I didn't want to be in a meltdown. And I know it's not fun for her to be in a meltdown. So how can we get it to where we could have some plans for the next day, some structure for the next day, but not be so held to it if something didn't work out right? I have worked from home my kids' entire life. And so one of the things that would happen is I would expect that we could maybe go to the park, that I would clock out, we could run to the park, and then we could come back and we could have quiet time. Sometimes my work schedule would shift or change to where I wasn't able to do that. Or even if, like, it starts to rain outside and we can't go to the park, that would have been really hard for her to be able to respond to in a less angry way. So what are some ways that you can handle the situations that you learn from looking back on previous experiences and what were their triggers and their behaviors. And then the last thing that you can do is you can plan and execute. So if you know something's coming up, you can start talking about it. So by going through these three steps, now what you can do is say, well, I know that she's going to struggle with this. I know he's going to handle it this way. Then you can come back and you can say, well, we have an upcoming change. Let me start talking about, hey, just so you know, in a couple of weeks, school's going to be out. Or more importantly, in a couple of weeks, school's going to be starting again. So we're going to have to start getting our schedules back in alignment with that, and giving them a heads up so that they're not caught off guard. The next thing that you can do is you can role play. Depending on how creative you are as a person, it could be a full on role play if you and your child are willing to participate in that. The way that I've done it is more of like a walkthrough of, hey, Em, when we get to this situation, I can imagine this is what is happening. How would you handle that? And so it's forcing her to think about and putting herself into that situation so that when it happens, she's already kind of been there in a sense, or at least thought about it to where she can respond maybe more appropriately and not allow for that panic monster to come in and take over, that anxiety-ridden feeling, which then generates that meltdown that she might have. The next thing that you can do as a part of that planning process is potentially reward or incentivize them. So if it's something that you are really concerned about not going well, what can you do to help incentivize the behavior that you're looking for? So I believe that, first of all, this needs to go in combination with the conversation, with the communication, with the, hey, here's what's happening. Here's what I would like it to look like at the end. We actually have an event that's coming up that our daughter Emily has expressed that she's not excited about attending. And it's a fun event. And we're excited to go as a family. But I actually expressed to my husband this weekend, based off of some of her responses, that she has already dug in her heels around this activity. And I'm frustrated because I already have the feelings inside from previous experiences that we're going to show up and that she's going to have a bad attitude and that she, technically she can't run it for everybody else, but that she would be contributing to it not being as fun and that we would have to manage the behavior or the feelings that come along with it. So some ways that we could look at that is to incentivize her and say, first of all, talk to her about it. Say, hey, I have some feelings that maybe you don't want to be here. Because you don't want to be here, this is how you would show up and that this is the impact on the family. Can we talk about some ways to handle this? One, do you want to go? Like, I want you to go, but maybe give them the decision if that's possible for them to come or not. If there is no choice or they decide that they want to go, then we can talk about what we anticipate it to look like or some of the concerns that we believe might be there. And then we could maybe say, what is something that we could do while this event is happening that could make this more enjoyable for you? And that could allow for, your child to be in a place where, you know, something that they're not looking forward to, and again, digging their heels in on, but also be able to contribute in a better way because they're getting something that they want out of it as well. And what I like about that is that you've talked through it, they know where they can make choices and how they can show up, and that there is something fun for them in it, even though every other part of it might not be enjoyable for them. Again, every kid is different. And so these are just some of the examples that we have that have worked with in our home and with our kids to be able to help create a good experience. All right, it is May, and I'm sure you guys are all insanely busy. I know that we are. And it's actually a kind of a quiet year for us. Last year was our insanely busy year. So anybody who has graduations or birthdays going on this month, hang in there. You've got it. And I'll talk to you guys in June.
Winning with ADHD is brought to you by Disrupt ADHD. Head on to disruptadhd.com/learn more.